Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
And yes, it's a Bills roundtable, but I think I should mention here before it's, while it's close to the update, that the Mac is going to have a football season. We've seen these 180s from the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and now the Mac, it seems, will play. We'll get you details if we can here in time. The Mac Twitter, it's at Mac Sports, but you know, on the left there in the bold print, it says Maction. Mm-hmm. So they're not afraid to say, like, you know, we know what you expect from us, and we own it. We will do our best to deliver. Maction. Saxonville last night.
Right.
The right. Signs say Saxonville. They even got Joe Buck to say it.
Yeah.
You better be able to get to the quarterback if you're going to be Saxonville. Last night, not great at that, actually.
Wasn't every time Aikman was talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, particularly late in the game, were you, like, waiting for him to mention I was waiting for him to mention Joe. Like, in some way allude to, like, well, I know the guy has thrown for more yards than me. Or so just something. Like,
I had three different tweets to Joe with the words, who cares, when Aikman was talking about Fitzpatrick, but I just decided not to bother. All right. Welcome to our roundtable. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. How are you, Sal?
Good, Mike. I saw Chris Myers today. Talked to him for a little bit.
I know another guy who told me about Chris. Is he doing the game?
Yes.
Yeah, him and I saw him and Brock Huard out at the. I did not see Greg Jennings. Apparently, Greg Jennings is. It's Chris Myers, Greg Jennings, Brock Huard, Jen Hale will be on the in the moat. And but they, I saw Chris Myers and Brock Huard out at practice today. Yeah.
Yeah, you're the second person today. Their person is not affiliated with the Bills, but they told me that they saw him. So I just.
It was around. Was it around this time last year? We had Chris, yes, Myers on the show before a Bills game, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He did some game of theirs last year, and we talked to him. The guy's had a really great career, Chris Myers. So this game with the Rams, like, how true is this for you, Sal? How important is winning this game for credibility's sake for the Bills? Like, we know 3-0 is a great record, and they're already off to a good start. Does this game mean more than just another win?
I think it does for credibility. Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people still around the country doubting the Bills. There's plenty of love for them, believe me. I mean, I've seen them in power rankings as high as 4, around 6 or 7, maybe in most cases, maybe 8, I guess. But, you know, I think there's still a lot of people who think this is a good team, but you usually get with the ... but they haven't beaten anybody type of thing. And I get that. And the teams they beat were 0-2 until last night when Miami won. They were, you know, they looked pretty good last night. So, you know, I think for credibility purposes, yes. I think obviously this is not make or break their season. If they happen to lose this game, it doesn't mean they're a bad football team or it's fatal and they're not going to make the playoffs or win the division. We all know that. But I do think the perception of the team through the first 2 weeks could really be enhanced with a win here against the Rams.
Yeah, I'd love to see their status elevated. I mean, I know the standings and the actual wins and losses, Sal, are what matter. But you know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not too proud to look at these power rankings when they're coming out because the Bills are in the top 10, top 5, And like, look, I I've always stuck up for even seasons that didn't seem as promising as this young one already does, to sort of enjoy it while it's good. If it can get better than 2-0 beating the Jets and Dolphins, I think beating the Rams home, you know, sure, but, you know, be nicer to do it on the road, I suppose. But I'm not sure how much that matters in this year. I'm all for, like, boosting their stock. You know, I would love for all of us to get to ride that ride.
Yeah, I think really the next 4 weeks are what does this. It'd be great to win this game for the Bills and for all the reasons we just, you know, laid out for the perception. But I really think it's the next 4 weeks that will happen. They have an opportunity here against, I think, four teams that people consider good. Now, maybe you still have doubts about Vegas. Maybe you still have doubts about Tennessee. That's fine. I think the Rams and the Chiefs obviously are the teams, if you were to rank the next four opponents, would probably be two and then one being the Chiefs. But I think that if you come away, let's say you go 2-2 in the next four, it's okay. Well, you know, they can still hang with some of these teams. They can beat some, but, you know, there's still enough flaws. If you go 3-1 in the next four, regardless of which team you lose to, I think there's suddenly a, hey, look at the Buffalo Bills going around nationally, to be honest.
Sal, so how do they match up with the Rams?
I think they match up pretty well for the Bills' offense. You know, I think Zach Moss being out, although I agree that, you know, he's not an irreplaceable player, the Rams have not been as good at stopping the run so far this year. They, the Cowboys ran on them a little bit. The Eagles were able to run sometimes on them a little bit. So, you know, it'd be nice to have a full complement of backs back there. So I think that there's some opportunity for the Bills. I do think it's going to be a little tougher to throw on them. They have a good secondary. It's playing well. We know they have a shutdown corner in Jalen Ramsey. They don't have a great pass rush, you know, so, you know, we'll see if that can help a little bit. I think, you know, even Josh Allen's running can come into play in this game again, by the way, guys. On the other side of the ball, I think they match up well. I do. I'm really, really interested how they're going to do it, how they want to play against them. And I don't know what the health situation is of their linebackers. I think at this point it's trending well for both Milano and Edmonds, but they are listed as questionable. So I think this is a really good matchup on both sides, guys. I really think this is going to be a close football game.
Sal Capaccio with us, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. It's our Friday Bills Roundtable. Injuries are a story for both teams. And we have, for starters, a rookie running back on each team that won't play. Zach Moss and Cam Akers for the Rams. In different ways or to different extents, though, Sal, each team seems like it can be fine, might be fine without those guys.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we know the Bills, even though Zach Moss is kind of a 1-2 punch with Devin Singletary, they do have TJ Yeldon, and I'm excited to see what TJ Yeldon can do. You know, I thought he was a matchup issue for teams last year, catching the ball out of the backfield. Maybe that's a way they can use him. You know, how many carries will he get? How will they divide it up? And, you know, with the Bills running a lot more 10 and 11 personnel this year, it doesn't, having lesser numbers in the backfield, if you will, shouldn't be as much of an issue as it would be maybe in past years, because you can replace that guy with another wide receiver, a tight end, because the Bills do run so much spread offense. So I do think that with Zach Moss out, you lose a little bit of the physicality in the running game. But overall, as Bulldog pointed out before, I agree. You know, it's not like a player that you put TJ Yeldon, you say, oh my God, it's such a drop off. I think in a lot of ways, TJ Yeldon could be better than Zach Moss in this game. You know, we'll find out. But on the other side of the ball, they're kind of the same way. You know, this is a three-headed monster. It's Brown, it's Henderson, it's Akers. And Akers has the second most carries. Brown has the most carries. And after, who knows how they're going to try and divide that up. They'll also hand the ball off to different people. Robert Woods has four carries already on the year. Cooper Kupp has carried the ball a couple times. So, you know, they'll find ways to get more guys involved. Both of these teams are really more of the new age model of not having a bell cow running back. And they really like to do it by numbers with number of people.
Sal, you know, I wonder about Knox being out too. Like, you just mentioned the thing, and I got to it too. Like, no Moss, you know, okay, maybe Yeldon gets his snaps, or maybe they go four or five, mm-hmm. you know, spread more, a little more than they have been. I wonder if Knox being out as well hurts that. Like, he's, like you said, Croft maybe is comparable, but I feel like Knox is got, like, more, there's more upside. He's not established. I feel like there's just more athleticism there than there is with Croft. So, like, I wonder if that might put an added burden on them, you know, not having Knox in addition to not having Moss.
I do think it will. Yeah, I think, you know, having that threat of a guy who can go out and catch passes, athletic guy, he's improved his blocking. Although, you know, I do think Tyler Kroft played well last year when he was given opportunities. He hasn't had much of an opportunity this year. It's really been Dawson Knox on the field mostly. Kroft came in when Knox got hurt last week. So you're right. I think you lose a little bit in that athletic department. But we also know that Dawson Knox has had some issues with ball security so far. So it will be interesting. And Mike, I do think there's a chance for Lee Smith to be activated this game,
yes.
Because considering what we just said with the numbers, the way Bulldog laid out, which is right, on top of the fact that, you know, they haven't been a great team against the run, and there were some opportunities the first couple of weeks with Dallas and Philadelphia, this might be a chance where you say, hey, look, we can bulk up a little bit in the run game, and we can, you know, maybe go at them a little bit here with Lee Smith.
Here I thought mentioning him first was becoming sad and boring. Then we had Maction and Saxonville and just didn't, and I'm so happy you brought him up.
That was a great trivia question, by the way. I was at home. I actually guessed Jonathan Stupar. That was like my guess. I had no idea, but I'm like, maybe that's the guy. And then I actually looked it up before you got to the answer, and I said to myself, that is a great question.
Well, it was a lucky find. Lee Smith is the last Bill to score a touchdown at home against the Rams. Now, they play here against the Rams every 8 years. So it was in that game, they scored one touchdown, and it was Ryan Fitzpatrick to Lee Smith, both still active, by the way. That was the Bills' last touchdown, and only touchdown in that game against the Rams. So thank you. Speaking of tight ends, if you'll indulge me on this. So when we were talking about, when we had this question earlier, we're also talking about, could the Bills trade for a tight end? Now, none of this is to question, like, Knox, either for how injured he is, if we could even predict that, or, like, that the Bills... to imply the Bills have any dissatisfaction with him, because I don't know of anything like that. But, in you know, a couple of years ago, when they traded for Benjamin, just a normal thing in sports, you got a good team, you might want to trade a draft pick for a player. Would a tight end, in your mind, make sense?
Yeah, I think it would. I mean, if you could find one that you think is an upgrade, I don't want to just put, like you said, though, it's not about them necessarily, but you would have to take them off the field, right? I don't think you're going to be running with the receivers they love to run out there now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you have room to add more tight ends. You're not trying to put more tight ends in the field. This is not the Bill Belichick, you know, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez offense. You know, that's not the reason you do it. I think the reason you do it is you have an upgrade, and if you do it, you're going to put Dawson Knox, you take him off the field. So unless you can come up with, and I do think there's an argument to be made that you could upgrade, there's no doubt about that, to have a guy that you're more dependent on, and he could do that, but I don't know at what expense that would be for your offense, because those guys are hard to find, and that's going to cost you money, that's going to cost you assets, and is it worth it in the end?
Yeah, I would not expect anything like this. I just wanted to know if
right.
If you would say, just don't even think about it, rule it out.
No, I think that's a move you make if you really, I could see something like that near the trade deadline. If you really believe you're in a position to contend for an AFC championship, I think that's the type of move that teams who think they contend would make. Whatever position it is, that's the type of move you make.
Is Gronk a terrible idea?
Uh-oh.
You know, I haven't really watched, but I guess he's not catching the ball there. No, I don't think Gronk would, you know, maybe he would say even he wouldn't want if he doesn't go anywhere but play with Tom Brady and down in Florida. I just, that's probably a terrible idea just from the not from a football standpoint, but from just a standpoint of would it really matter or happen.
Right. It might be a terrible idea from a football standpoint, too.
Right.
I don't know. He might be finished. I mean, I don't know for sure. But, you know, the family is still here. So it's not, like, of all the other teams that aren't in Florida with Tom Brady on them, like, Buffalo does have one thing that might be appealing. I don't know. Just, it's just the thought. I don't predict Tampa, you know, signing a 43-year-old free agent quarterback who's like buddies with this guy is going to be in the business of trading away guys that they think might be able to help them in January, and maybe that's all they got Gronk for. Who knows? But just, it was just a thought. Like, if he were to become available, would you want to go fishing for that?
I'm looking at guys who are going to become free agents at the end of this year right now. This is according to, I have the website Over the Cap up right now. The guys who would become free agents at the end of this year. So maybe a team gets in a position where they say, okay, you know, and Gronk is obviously one of them. He has that 1 year deal, but Hunter Henry is a guy in that position. Greg Olsen is even on the field right now. I don't even know. Tyler Kroft, the Bills, right? Tyler Kroft. But there's really nobody here that I see that would be in that boat where a team might be saying, hey, maybe he can, Ooh, Gerald Everett's a nice, interesting option. You know, but he's pretty cheap right now. So we'll see. But I don't know what that market would look like right now. But I do think there's room for improvement. You just have to understand that if it happens, you're basically pushing your young tight end who you like onto the bench because I don't see them sharing the field at all.
Well, let's
absolutely got it.
Let's move on because it sounds like we're writing his obituary. And I just wanted to know if it's something we should even ever think about. The injury, well, the story with John Brown. So he practiced Wednesday and then was listed as limited yesterday, which might imply that he had some sort of an injury in practice. Today it said full, and you said maybe you were on a call with him. Like he said he was good.
He said he's good to go. He said he's got a couple of days more to rest, and you know he'll take advantage of that. It basically paraphrasing. And remember, last week he was out on Wednesday last week. This week he was out on Thursday, so it might just be one of those things where they want to give him a day, and maybe this week it was Thursday, maybe because Cole Beasley was out Wednesday, you know, so you have bodies at practice, but he said he's good to go.
So talk about his importance in the offense. I mean, I think that there's I'll say for myself, through the offseason, thinking about putting Stephon Diggs into that passing game, that for me, it reduced Brown. I wondered what kind of role he might play after that. Come on. Can you blame me? I did not foresee all these wide receivers, all this passing, all this everything so far. But still, he has meant a lot so far through two games. If he were to miss a game, whether it's this game or not, maybe he won't miss this game, so good. Like, Gabe Davis after that, or just, you know, what is Brown worth to what they're doing?
So when the Bills acquired Stephon Diggs, I was asked to go on a lot of, you know, radio stations and around the country, and what does this mean for the Bills? And what I said then is what I think has happened, and I think I still believe now, because I think this is what's coming to fruition. I agree, Mike. Nobody could have predicted. I think they would be throwing it, you know, over 70 times, 80 times, or whatever, through two games, right? I mean, that's just I think something that we didn't foresee coming. However, for me, what I did see was, to me, it was like a basketball team where sometimes you have a guy who's really a natural shooting guard, but you have to play him at point guard. And it's just not his position. So you go out and you get a point guard. You say, okay, now you go to your shooting guard position where you're just a much better player for us, and it makes our offense work much better. To me, getting Stephon Diggs moved all the chess pieces to where they belong. And John Brown was the key chess piece. He was a number one receiver last year, and he performed admirably. He put up good numbers. He was a good first option for the Bills last year. But no offense to John Brown, we know he's not a true number one receiver in the regard of all the things he can do and commanding double teams and going to him on the key third down, like against Baltimore or against Cleveland, where a team is drawing their coverage towards him. This allows him to be the number two receiver, to go against the other team's not number one corner, to go against the other team's number two guy in a one-on-one because you're over top against Stephon Diggs. And I think that's what makes this offense really good now, is allowing these guys to all play their natural positions where they fit best, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. I Brown and Beasley were the additions last year. They didn't have Diggs, and no one, I don't think, was – I think I definitely underestimated what Brown's impact could be and how good an all-around receiver he could be. But even with that said, he's a great number two that probably, in a pinch can get you through if you got to depend on him, if something happens to Diggs. But – yeah, having him now not be the focus, you know, provided Allen can have the time to, get there, and so far so good, I just think that's, you know, that's how you win. That's how you improve your passing game, is you have a better option. You know, your number one option last year becomes your number two option because you put something else better on top of it, and everything just runs downhill, and, that's such a good place to be.
So this week, guys, we've talked a lot about Jalen Ramsey, and rightly so. I mean, that's a really great matchup for a lot of reasons. Jalen Ramsey is just a great corner, number one, and he's going to be on Stephon Diggs, most likely, number two, and that's it. I think this is a John Brown game. That becomes a John Brown against Troy Hill game, and the advanced numbers on Troy Hill are not good right now on the year. I believe he's basically allowed a really high completion percentage against him. And if the Bills want to target that matchup, I actually think they could do that in a way that maybe like Miami targeted Levi Wallace. Like, you get him one-on-one. Okay, if you're going to use Jalen Ramsey, we don't have to go that way. You know, we can just do that. Now, I will tell you what some teams do is they basically put their number one shutdown corner guy on a number one receiver, and then they double team the number two guy. And that could happen too, where you say, hey, we're not going to give you an option. And maybe the Rams go that route. And now you're looking at, okay, now Diggs really has to beat, you know, Jalen Ramsey, because they're not going to let us throw to John Brown either. And then Cole Beasley becomes it. But you know, it's that chess match. But some teams do that, where they'll basically say, okay, we can shade a little bit towards the two, and we're going to let our guy on number one, because I do expect Ramsey to be on Stephon Diggs, but I expect John Brown to go against Troy Hill, and I think that's the matchup the Bills have to exploit.
What do you think of the Rams spending like they have on some of these stars? Like, really all of them, just about, have gotten paid. Gurley is now gone, but Ramsey, mm-hmm. of course, trading two firsts, and Aaron Donald, and then Kupp and Woods, both at wide receiver, and of course, Goff already. Like, they have just, I don't know, they must still have, the cap must exist for them. But, you know, this way of going about it, do you have some insight?
I did the math on it when they first signed, you know, Woods to his extension. It's, what, $35 million for just in two receivers for each of the next 3 years while the Kupp extension goes. And then Woods, obviously, I think one of them's four, one of them's 3 years. But $35 million for each of the next 3 years. And that's just on those two. The Bills actually are in a similar situation. They're paying roughly the same, but it's really for all three. It's for Diggs, Brown, and Beasley, right? So yeah, they really upped it. They're really paying these guys. And I think good for Robert Woods and good for Cooper Kupp. But it seems like they got paid in the type of ballpark where maybe some guys who you think are more talented. But I think what they do for Sean McVay and what they do for that offense is so important. That's why they decided, you know, the value that they held on those guys. And again, I don't want to sound like I don't think they're not good. I do. But I think that it's more about what they do for that system and how they work together and how Sean McVay uses them. And yeah, they've gone out and they've spent a lot of money, Aaron Donald. So I don't know. Do they see opportunity in the next few years? That could very well be the case, where we better strike now. And, you know, we're just going to have to deal with the consequences of getting rid of some of the back end of the roster guys, because we have really good, talented players. And we have Aaron Donald, and we have Jared Goff, and we have, you know, the two wide receivers we like. Maybe that's their approach right now. I'll tell you this. They've also done a good job, like, kind of resetting their offensive line a little bit. Their secondary, like I said, beyond Jalen Ramsey, has played well, especially at the safety position. I think they played pretty well. So I think they're doing a good job of player development and coaching, and that allows you to pay more money for your top-end talent when you know that you got guys behind them. And this kid Kaiser that they have, he's a linebacker. It's like his second NFL game. He gets NFC Player of the Week last week.
Pretty good.
Now, at some point, though, it's supposed to catch up to you, isn't it?
Like, that's right.
Part of the right, that, and will it? Like, I feel like this might be, I don't know, with the receiver contracts they've just done this year, Sal, I feel like it's like a third round of, look at the Rams paying everybody. Boy, yeah. They better win. And it, like, they had a down year, I guess, so maybe that's it. But it there's never been a they've got to unload people year yet, I don't think. I guess they unload Gurley. They unloaded Cooks. I may be overstating.
Well, that's
that,
true.
It just feels to me like they're probably, maybe they're never going to get caught in cap jail, it feels like.
Well, I think the key will be too, like, what happens next year, because this cap is supposed to go down. Is that something that is going to, you know, is that something that's going to really impact a team like the Rams who's spending like this? I mean, we don't know exactly where it's going to be. We think it's going to go down. The floor is going to be 175. By the way, I said Kaiser played in the second game. He's played 18 games. I looked it up, just so anybody. It was his second career start, by the way, but you guys get the point. Like, these are young guys that, you know, that they're putting in these spots and they're performing well. So I do think it's supposed to catch up. Like you said, I agree with that, but we'll see. Maybe next year they're going to have to make a couple tougher decisions they didn't want to have to make at this time.
Later on, we'll talk more about the game plan and also around the league, including Miami and Ryan Fitzpatrick and their bounce-back win last night. It's the Dunn Tire Roundtable. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sal Capaccio, and we'll be back after the update here on WG.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know, we always talk about pass rush this, pass rush that, but you can't pass rush unless you stop the run. You know, that's the number one thing that we install here. We a gap oriented defense, so first thing we'll do is be in our gap and stop the run. So that's self-explanatory. You know, we know before we can even get to the quarterback, we got to stop the run first.
Mario Addison, a sack in each of his first two games as a Bill. He has 57 for his career, which is 21st among active players, according to ProFootballReference.com. Welcome back to our Friday Duntire Roundtable, focusing on Bills-Rams. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Sal Capaccio. Again, I want to mention the news out of the MAC, that conference, of course, that UB plays in. They are following suit with the Pac-12 and, I guess, the Mountain West also. Last night, decided to resume or opt back in to a football season in the fall. So we should see UB games. The MAC is returning in November. I have read today that they're going to play at the beginning all their games on weeknights. So the first few weeks of the MAC's return will be weeknight games. They're kind of famous for those.
Yeah, Tuesday night MACtion.
MACtion, weeknight MACtion, Sal.
Yep.
And Bulldog. And so that, and then also this means that only three out of 130 FBS teams are sitting out. After all of that, UConn, New Mexico State, and Old Dominion are the only schools who apparently now will not be playing football in the fall. So good for the players, right? Good for the guys who wanted this at UB and at all these places.
Yeah, good for them. Really happy for Lance Leipold and his coaching staff. And we have a really, really good running back right here in our own backyard, guys. Jarrett Patterson is highly touted, possible. You know, he's going to maybe be a nice draft pick next year. So we'll see. So there's some talent here at UB, and it's going to be fun to watch them. I'm just disappointed that Joe has yet to play the song Return of the Mac coming back from a break yet.
It's, it was a gimme. I got to get there.
It's early. Yeah, it's early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give him time. So.
It hasn't even been an hour.
That's good.
But what you're saying is you think Joe's really excellent at this and you would expect him to be fast like
yes,
that.
Yes, of course. Yes, that we thought of that by now.
Just turning it into a positive, as I'm known for. Let's construct the game plan, brought to you by Admar Construction and Supplies. Equipment you need when you need it. What side of the ball for either team do you like most when you look at this matchup?
Ooh. I think I still like the Bills' defense the most. You know, I do. I think that what the Bills' defense has done, what they've built under Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, I think that they're solid every week. And yet, I know they gave up 28 points last week. They got the ball moved on in the third quarter. That was really the only time, third quarter, early fourth quarter, maybe. Same thing against the Jets. They give up one big play in the third quarter. It's been a bit of a struggle, those quarters there. But really, overall, they've still played very well this season, despite having a couple of injuries, especially at linebacker. And I think overall, That is probably the best unit. I mean, it's close, though. The Rams offense I really like, and that's who they have to go against.
Right.
But I think the Bills' consistency on defense and what they've built probably gets me to like them out of the four units.
I don't know if this is too hard of a question. There's probably, like, you know, correct answers, with both options here. But if we get to Sunday and the inactives come out, which one, let's just hypothetically, one of the two linebackers is playing, which one would you rather have, Edmonds or Milano?
Milano. I think Terrell Dodson filled in pretty well for Edmonds last week.
Yeah.
And I think because of what we saw with Gesicki last week, knowing that they have Higby, and Milano would have to go out in coverage more than Edmonds would. That would really scare me. I think the good news is Milano has practiced without the red jersey on all week. He was out there as a limited participant every day. Sean McDermott today sounded optimistic about both guys, but he wanted to get a good look at, as he said to Howard and Jeremy. So that's the good news. But to answer your question, I think Matt Milano in this specific matchup would be more important to have.
Right. And a specific matchup, and it's not like necessarily who's a more talented player.
Correct.
You're looking at who the backup is, too. And I'm inclined to agree with you. Klein, I think there's a pretty steep decline from Milano to Klein. And Dodson, while I think Edmonds is an excellent player and has an excellent future, I thought Dodson flashed some real, I thought he looked pretty good at a few different times in that game.
I did too. And, I think a couple of things too. I think AJ Klein is probably more suited really at this point of his career, especially guys, to be a strong side or middle linebacker than he is a will linebacker. But that's where he was playing. And that's because he just doesn't have the athleticism I think it takes in today's NFL to play that spot. You really got to go sideline to sideline. You really got to cover more than you really have before in the NFL. I think he's more suited at that role. And what's interesting is I think Terrell Dodson, as well as he played, he actually could play that spot a little bit. I wonder if they go down here a little bit more and maybe some other things happen. Maybe you see Dodson. They can play all three spots. He is the backup. You know, right now he's the natural backup to Edmonds, but I do wonder if let's say Edmonds came back and Milano was out. I wonder if Terrell Dodson gets snaps at will instead of AJ Klein because of what I just said.
You know, speaking of defensive formations and whatnot, I saw today that the Patriots in two games have not played their base defense for one snap.
You mean 4-3, like versus nickel or something?
3-4, yeah. I mean, it's
nickel,
the dollar defense. I didn't really know there was a dollar. Maybe Madden players knew there was a dollar defense, but 8 DBs. Does it go up from there? Can you get to 9? Is anybody running 9 defensive backs on the field for a play? 8 seems like that should be the limit.
Yeah, what is that, the Tooney defense?
What comes after that?
By the way, what do we do with 7? Because 5 is nickel, 6 is dime.
7's the quarter.
7's the quarter defense. Quarter defense maybe would be coverage. Quarter's coverage. 4 deep safeties, basically. So that's really interesting. It doesn't surprise me, though. I mean, you know, this is... Okay, let's go back to what we talked about earlier in the week and like how, you know, you go somewhere on a Friday night and you see all these air raid offenses out there now, right? I remember, guys. I do. I remember this in the, you know, 2008, 9, 10 era where... even colleges, but really high schools, were starting to run 3-5-3s. They were just saying, we're going to get a bunch of athletes and put them on the field, 3 down linemen, put 5 linebackers back there. You know, now it's even shifted more where you're putting more of these DBs, but really that started. And then I remember West Virginia did it. I think Dana Holgorsen under him, they started running that 3-5-3. And you just see more athletes and more linebackers and more DBs being put on the field at lower levels. And now because of everything we talked about last week, you're seeing that translate to the NFL again.
Isn't that kind of what the Chargers did to the Ravens in the playoffs year before last? Like, it was all it was just athletes. It wasn't so much get positions. It was just I need speed to contain the edges, mostly, I think, is what that was.
That's a great point. That's a great point because of, you know, Lamar, obviously. I've asked Lorenzo Alexander about that, you know, and his answer is, look, it's not necessarily a formula of 5 DBs or 6 DBs or 8 DBs or whatever versus how many linebackers or defensive linemen. What it really is when you're playing a guy like that, when you're playing an offense like that, you just have to have people on the field that you trust to know that they're going to play everything right and be disciplined. And because that could be Lorenzo Alexander. You may say, somebody may look on the surface and go, well, look, I'd rather have a faster DB than Lorenzo Alexander on the field. But in reality, you want Lorenzo because he's so disciplined and so good at knowing where he's supposed to be and studying the game film. So, you know, his answer to that is, it doesn't really matter in the formula. You just better have people who you trust to be able to do what you want them to do.
Right. You might not be faster than that other guy.
Correct.
But you're going to get there faster because you know where the hell you're going.
That's exactly right. And that to circle back to your point, Mike, I think that's why I like the Bills' defense. They just seem really coached up all the time, right? They know where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, and they do things right.
Should be interesting to see how they do against Tyler Higbee, the Rams' tight end, one of the top fantasy plays of the week. At least that's the expectation because he's coming off a 3-touchdown game, and the Bills gave up a lot to the tight end in the Miami game last week. Interestingly, Mike Gesicki for the Dolphins. Only one catch last night, but they were ahead. Last week they were down for a lot of that, especially in the fourth quarter. But last night, a different story. We'll talk about...
They put Miles Jack on him a little bit last night, didn't they? Isn't that what Jacksonville did? They had Miles Jack covering him. That was interesting.
Maybe. They ran it well, and Fitzpatrick had a Fitzpatrick sort of game, you know, where he ran himself. It was just kind of easy for the Dolphins. So we'll talk about them a little bit and one or two other NFL storylines when we come back. It's our Duntire Roundtable. Sal Capaccio with us, Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR.
A guy like that who brings such tenacity and violence to the game and is just an exceptional football player. We have to be on our P's and Q's. We have to understand that if you let him get started, it can be a real tough go. So for us, we'll be matching his intensity, and for that matter, it's the whole defense. I think they have a star-studded defense, and it'll just be a great competitive environment come Sunday.
Mitch Morse talking Aaron Donald and the Rams. Sal, I just remembering this, hearing Mitch Morse. Did the Bills not protect two centers from their practice squad this week, and why did they do that, if that's right?
So I don't know the answer. I can only speculate. They did protect two centers on their practice squad. Sometimes it might be because you see around the league there might be some centers banged up, so you want to make sure that the other teams don't come poaching your centers. You know, they also had just signed Jonathan Harris to the practice squad. That might have been a, hey, we just got this guy, let's not lose him. You know, so that might have been for that reason as well. So if you have injuries on your offensive line, anything like that, maybe, you know, you just want to make sure in case you have to move guys around, things. But I think it could be because of other teams around the league, guys. And, you know, you see some injuries, so you want to make sure nobody comes calling for your guys.
3D chess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a look around the league. In fact, let's dash around the league. Even better.
Oh, yeah.
For other big NFL stories. Brought to you by Dash's Market. Shop the family of finer foods. Dash's Market. Okay, fine. I know what the deal is. Win games. Miami looked good and won, and everybody's happy. Probably a very happy, you know, result for a road team to win on a Thursday night, short flight home. That's pretty good. So now what? You're not taking Ryan Fitzpatrick out, and Tua time has to wait.
You mean, are you asking me what now what? Yeah, I think you have to wait on that. I think they want to wait all year if they can to put Tua in. I think their ideal scenario is what the Bills wanted with Josh Allen, but we all know was thrown away pretty early. I think their ideal scenario is that Ryan Fitzpatrick plays the whole year. They win as many games as possible, maybe even contend for that seventh playoff spot now that there's an extra one this year, and don't play Tua. Especially consider maybe things would have been different if they had an offseason and could get their hands on him a little bit quicker, the rehab, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, with the situation it was, they probably just wanted to wait a year. Kind of give. I think they'd like to give him a redshirt year, guys.
Man, I disagree. I think they may take their time, but I think the guy's going to be a star, and they got to get him on the field. Like, I just think they're just wasting time. I think there's a lot to be gained from getting on the field and taking your lumps. Maybe Jalen proves it, and Tagovailoa is a much more polished prospect coming out of college than Josh Allen was. And I think Josh ended up benefiting from playing, and I recognize everyone's different. But, man, I just think watching him sitting there on the bench with Parker sitting on his left and I don't know who was on his right, or maybe I got that reversed. Either way, I just thought, like, these guys are dying for this guy to get on the field. Like even Fitzpatrick told the crew last night that the talent is undeniable. There's just so much there. I mean, you got a guy like that, man, get him some snaps. Let's go.
And Fitz knows, too. I mean, he was even on Eric Wood's podcast, and he said, like, I know that I'm, you know, it's going to be Tua time eventually. I'm just here until they're ready for him. But make no mistake, I don't disagree that they should probably do it. I don't think they want to, though. Don't think it's the right course. I don't think it's necessarily the right course of action. I think they're going to ride Ryan Fitzpatrick as long as possible, and then they're going to say, okay, let's do it.
You know what's so interesting about that, though, is doesn't everybody want to wait, and then they never do?
That's right.
Like, something always happens, you know? It's just, so, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth, right? Like, you lose two in a row and Fitz throws five picks. Like, guess what? What are we doing here? We're not in it. We're not contending. Let's get busy living for tomorrow.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't even know. I have to look at their upcoming schedule.
Seattle, that would have been the time. San Francisco, Denver are their next three.
At least maybe after the Seattle game. I mean,
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought for a minute there, I thought you were singing a Huey Lewis song.
I thought about it. I don't know why what it would include Denver necessarily, but
That's right. Until you got to Denver, I realized it wasn't.
We've talked about this many times over the years. I think a lot of teams sort of maybe make this decision in reverse. What's more important? Tua is their investment. They should do whatever they do based on what they think is best for him, not the other way around. But we'll see what happens. Fitzpatrick had a great night, no doubt about that. Do you have one or two other storylines from this weekend you're excited about?
You mean outside of the Bills game?
Yeah.
Yeah, Raiders-Patriots is interesting to me. I think the Raiders looked really good on Monday night, and the Bills play them next on their schedule, and we all know that the Patriots are the team looming there in the AFC East. There's been a lot of questions about them. They've looked really good through 2 weeks. I don't know how sustainable it is, but they've looked really good, obviously. So that's one storyline that I'm very interested in. I guess the injuries are the other thing, guys. Game-wise, Kansas City, Baltimore, obviously. But to me, it's really – I think the story this week in the NFL has been injuries. It's really sad to see so many players out for the year, out for long term, and so many really good players that are important to their teams.
All right, Sal. Great to talk to you as always, and enjoy the game Sunday.
Okay, guys. You too. Thanks.
Our Duntire Roundtable every Friday from 5 to 6 with Sal Capaccio, Bills and Rams, 1 o'clock kickoff on WGR. Pregame started this afternoon. Pregame starts in the morning on Sunday. Joy cometh in the morning.
7 a.m. Isn't it fantasy breakfast or something?
Fantasy breakfast.
Breakfast with the Bills, fantasy style.
Tell you what, brother. Okay. First overall, eggs. In my fantasy breakfast draft, I went eggs one and left coffee there for the next player.
Wait, what happened? Eggs here?
Eggs
no,
one.
No, chocolate pancakes.
Chocolate shit. What are you, nine?
Five? Easily.
What, you want whipped cream on them too,
yes.
Joey? Sprinkles?
Sprinkles, some of those strawberries that are soaking in the juices there.
Well, just eat a tub of ice cream while you're at it. Like, what's
throw
the difference?
A scoop of ice cream on
just
there.
Go for it.
Yeah. Do you ever put ice cream on a couple of waffles for breakfast? It's amazing.
There's one food rule in my house that pertains to my son. He can cook a little bit. He's a great eater. Really good. As for a kid, he'll eat anything, just different ethnic foods. He is not allowed to touch the maple syrup. Because no matter how many times we tell him, he just dumps the most maple syrup yep. you've ever seen onto the plate and then just sort of throws his palms up like, forgot.
Whoops.
Whoops. That's how that goes.
That works when you're 5.
I like that move, though, because you can't
do
anything
about
it.
You got to get out of here with that when you're 11 or 12. It just does not hold water anymore.
I know. I agree. Stop it.
Right.
All right. Picks coming up. We are even after last night, I believe. 6-6.
I think that's right. Yep.
So it's a new season. And it starts next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.